Hey, there we go. Okay. So, fathers, it's a big deal. So I wanted to, I was praying about today and thinking about, and, you know, I don't know. Like, now that I've been a dad for a little bit, I was thinking back to my dad, and I feel like sometimes I lend my dad out a little bit to the church, right? That just... my dad's a great dad. Mr. Harvey, like, I mean, come on. I mean, we could clap for a second. Don't we have some incredible dads in this church? We really do. We really do. I'm thinking 7, 8, maybe 9 years old. I can't reserve exactly. It was the summer of the go-kart. And, you know... I'll try to paint this picture just so everybody knows, and if you've ever been involved in one or seen one, you'll instantly know what I'm talking about. So imagine a piece of plywood with 4 wheels on it, a steering wheel with a mechanism that went straight with 2 guide wires that went to the 2 front wheels. On the back was an engine on the left side, and a chain. And that was the go-kart. Okay? You'll notice what I didn't say. So I didn't know what a roll cage, like, you know, the pipe thing that goes over the top. I had no idea what that was. Seat belts, a seat. None of that was in our go-kart. So the beginning of the summer, my dad shows up and unloads the piece of plywood with an engine on it for me and my brother. And he's like, "You got it, boys." I was like, "Huh, okay." So we do what we're supposed to do, right? You know, the safety check was, that was it. Like, it was go, boys. And dad went to work, and me and Matthew were at, you know, we're home that summer. And it's like, okay, here we go. So it was like pull string and this little engine, and, you know, it was kind of one of those engines where you worked on it an hour to run 10 minutes kind of thing, right? Like, that's kind of where it was. But, you know, I also didn't know there's other things that people have invented that are really smart, things like governors and brakes and other things like that, but those are, you don't need those. Okay, so we go with the go-kart, and... we get the thing started, and we just rip. And, I mean, what more do you need to know? You just turn left, right? Like, that's it. So, obviously, the go-kart track was the left-hand turn around the house. And the goal, instantly, was how fast you could get around the house. And, you know, quickly we figured out that grass slows you down. So we beat the tar out of the grass until the left side wheels was just about a 4-inch dirt track, right? You know, like, because we just run it to the point it's grass. So me and Matthew, we spent all summer working on the go-kart, and eventually we figured out that when you turn it really hard, you can get up on 2 wheels. Well, obviously, that's how you make better time, right? Less friction. So we started leaning in, and we started figuring out where, because there wasn't a seat, right? So you could kind of sit anywhere on the piece of plywood. So you just kind of held and, you know, maneuver and figure out your weight, and you could get that dude kind of start leaning. Well, then, you know, obviously, you lean too far, so the only way out of that situation, because, you know, there wasn't a cage, the only way not to get smushed by the go-kart was, once you started losing it, you just jumped away from it. You just tuck and rolled, right? We lived. It was a blast. And I don't know. Like, I mean, there was a few incidents. Like, so there's a little bit of problem about how the steering mechanism was. So I almost should draw a picture of it. But basically, if you can imagine, like, a straight pipe with 2 hooks on either side of the pipe with a bar that goes to the wheels, right? So as you turn, that turns the wheels, okay? Well, this phenomenal thing would happen if you overturned, you would snap it, and left would go right, right would go left. So that was a trick too. So, I mean, obviously, over the course of the summer, we ran into everything. We flipped it, we did everything imaginable. That was the best engine ever. But I was thinking about Father's Day, and aren't fathers, I was thinking, why did my dad do that? Like, we didn't have any money. Like, this was not, I've never asked my dad, but I assume that go-kart was at the ditch somebody was throwing away, and he picked it up on the way to work. Like, I don't know for sure, but there's no way he paid for it. Like, it was, somebody said, that's a death trap, and left it, like, at the road, right? And that's how it entered my life. But, now that I have, like, a house and a yard, and I know how much that house is worth, and how expensive whoever thought grass is, and taking care of it, and, you know, just the adulting that happens, you know, I thought, was my dad crazy? I ran into the most valuable thing the man owned multiple times. I tore up the grass. I probably lost every tool he owned because, you know, you didn't pull the go-kart in to work on it. You went to the go-kart. So if it's in the middle of the yard, that's where you drag the stuff. And then, you know, you don't have time to put the tools up. You got to go because once you get it started, that's it. You go. And it didn't have a brake, so you really had to go. But dads do interesting things for their kids, don't they? I didn't realize until later that really what my dad was doing, he was serving me in the best way he could that summer. We didn't have a lot of money. Us being in a house was the big deal, like us serving, you know, him serving the family, us being able to afford to be in a house. We didn't have a lot of games, video games and stuff, and like there's just a lot of stuff we didn't have, but I'm sure my dad spent time, and he didn't have a lot of time, just to get that engine running. And then I know after we went to bed, magically the go-kart started the next morning, right? So I know he was letting us work on it as best we could and learning how an engine works a little bit. But honestly, like I know behind the scenes, he was coming home from work after I went to bed, staying up in the garage working on that little dude, bolting the wheels back on, fixing the things we broke, straightening out the steering column, like the stuff like I just couldn't do. And he did it a whole summer. And for him, that was a way for him to give his boys a really fun summer. And he was just serving. So I want to talk this morning about something that I didn't quite realize. Alford's kind of have a reputation a little bit for just being work dogs. Like my grandpa, which is about a half mile from here, in an assistant living facility, he's still rocking it. Every story he's told me as far back as he can remember have had men, the Alford men, have just been hard-working farmers, lumber mill, lots of just hard manual labor jobs for a lot of generations, and they just worked. And so that's, you know, in me being about around my grandpa, then my dad, like there was just this man, we might not get everything right, and emotions aren't the thing we're known for, but hand us a hammer, and we're going to keep hammering for a long time. And I'm in growing up in that environment and learning how to work that way, I didn't quite realize this nuanced thing that really my generations on that side of the family men, work was probably the wrong word. That's the words they used. The word I probably would say today is they showed me what serving meant more than anything. Whoever they were serving. Serving the guy who brought his logs to the sawmill, serving their own family. Like they never just worked for work's sake or for money, really, because none of them had ended up with any money. But they worked to serve whoever that was in their life at that time. I don't know if I'm going to read this entire thing. I might. If you guys want in your Bibles, I thought about throwing this up on the screen. It's just a lot of text. So if you're doing the phone app or in your Bibles, where we're going to be today is John 13, like 1 through 17. I don't know if we're going to read it word for word, the entire passage, but it's a familiar story. That's when Jesus is washing his disciples' feet. Is where we're going to be. So that's John 13, 1 through 17 is we're going to be this morning. Jesus did something that just blows me away. How are we doing on time? I might just read it just because it's such a good story and it sets up what I think is on God's heart for Father's Day so well. So we'll just dive in. So this is John 13. We're going to go to, I think, about 16, 17, somewhere in there. So it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress. That's really important. I just want to highlight. Jen just talked about this real quick. So, guests come to a house, and when they come into the house, typically what happens right after a long journey is they would wash the guest feet, okay? That's a real important note right there. So, we washed their feet because it was nasty. Dirt, sandals, long journeys, blood, dirt, and everything else that you can step in along a journey, right? So washing the feet culturally was a really big deal. So keep that in mind. So the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus, okay? This is really interesting. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. Okay, I just want to pause. Okay, so they're eating the meal. That means the feet had already been washed. They had already been greeted. They had already been seated. The glasses had already been filled. When you don't have food very often, you do know how you just like really appreciate it, right? So not only was just less culturally where they were, and this was a big deal, like having prepared food brought to you was a big deal, okay? Like that, not just highlight of the day, that means there is a lot of people behind the scenes to make that happen, just to the fact to where you could arrive somewhere and there'd be a meal, okay? So when he was at that meal, gotta mark my place here. When he was at that meal, in the middle of the meal, right, what we just read, is Jesus stood up and he took off probably the nicest thing he owned, which they didn't own much, and he grabbed a towel as everyone's eating. Honestly, him just standing up, I'm assuming, probably silenced the room. Because that was so unusual. And he grabs a towel and he wrapped it around his waist. Okay, just picture that. Okay, he wrapped it around his waist. He poured water into the basin. Poured water into the basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you can never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you will have no part of me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not only wash my feet, but my hands and my head as well. I love Peter, right? Like, he's just all in all the time, baby. He's in. And Jesus said, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You have called me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Okay, let me just tell you, this is like one of those sections, which is probably true for most parts of the Bible, but this is one of those sections of the Bible that is just packed full of truth and wisdom. And I just want to talk about one part of this that I think, Father's Day, I want to talk to the guys this morning, but this is just really true in general. Relationships and results, you know, we've been talking about that as a bit of a catchphrase, talking about how sometimes my dad will talk about the gospel or the thing where relationships, fruit, you look at the fruit, the vine, you know, we've talked about that the last few months. So let me tell you how I think about this, dads. What did Jesus do that day? He grabbed a towel. And when I started thinking and praying about Jesus, that scenario, why he taught the disciples, I mean, that last line, what verse is that? I think that's 17. You will be blessed if you do them. I mean, flat out, what like God was saying, like what he said right at the end there, if you grab a towel, if you serve, you'll be blessed. I didn't know it, but growing up with the culture that I did with my dad's family, with all those men, what I really was watching them do over and over and over again was they kept grabbing towels. And what I didn't quite understand back then, they were getting a guaranteed blessing over and over and over and over again. So that's what I want to talk about this morning, grabbing a towel. You'll notice this towel is extremely dirty, right? I have quite a few of those in my garage. They started clean because I probably got them out of the kitchen where Jen keeps them, right? The bigger the emergency, the faster the towel you grab, right? Whatever. Hopefully not blood, but usually involved, but, you know, oil or whatever else I got going on out there. When you need a towel, you grab a towel. They start clean, they end up looking like that. And then once you have a towel like that, somehow it's easier to use it the next time, isn't it? And then you look up and it's like, oh my gosh, I wouldn't wipe the bottom of my shoe with this thing. Like, much less. But, you know, okay, so the towels in the garage kind of look like that. So I just wanted to talk about how this looks like in a couple of areas in our lives, and then we'll see where we end up here. So, okay, when we had kids and I first entered in this thing called family of my own, I gotta be honest, for me, both of our kids were premature. They were super, super small, very, very delicate, very, you know, we had lots of rules and suggestions, and the medical community is wonderful, but man, was I scared. By the time we passed the, I don't know the official name of it, but like, I mean, essentially the car seat test, right, to where they were making sure our little preemie baby could be in a car seat with their vitals okay for, I forgot what it was, an hour or two, right? Like, that's the last big exit before they, okay, you are now authorized to carry the bucket and the child home. And so, in a lot of ways, being a dad, like, I loved Camille. I loved her right out of the gate and felt connected and all these things. But I was like, what in the world am I supposed to do? Like, my job is, I don't know. Like, she's just so precious, so little. And honestly, at that stage and with the weight she was and the whole deal, like, you know, we weren't planning for the day. We were planning for the hour. Okay, what are we going to do from 1 till 2? I mean, that's kind of how it was. And then, you know, over time, as the days passed, like, when we kind of start playing, you know, you kind of figured it out in a little bit. But at the same time, being as a dad, I mean, honestly, I just felt a little out of place, you know? Like, what are you supposed to do? Like, how can I help this new mama who is feeling every emotion in the world, who just had surgery, who now has this precious little one? And, I mean, honestly, she went through a pretty big ordeal herself, and now she's instantly connected and serving this little baby girl, you know? And being a dad, so honest, at the time, I just started praying, and all I knew to do at the beginning, honestly, was I started grabbing a towel, whatever that meant. So if there was a dirty whatever, I cleaned it, probably didn't do it right, probably had to be redone. Thank goodness some of the grandmothers were around and friends, and I took out the trash. I made sure as best I could that everything was in place. I tried to think ahead. I was like, oh, that little strange-looking device, you know, like the nose sucker thing, it's disgusting. Like, that seems important. We probably should have two of those. And, you know, like, I would just do anything I could to help plan and think. And it was really simple at the beginning. It was, I mean, honestly, when Camille was at that size, changing her diaper made me nervous. I'm like, goodness gracious. I mean, not that it's gross or something. I just mean her little legs were so small. And sometimes I get the hiccups or sneeze. I mean, that's how I was thinking. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to break her. So I can carry dirty diapers. I can make sure the diapers are there. I can wash. I can. And basically those first month of having a preemie, that's where I started learning to, with my family, you grab a towel. So as they started getting older and we started, you know, Jacob, who also was preemie, and then we started hitting those toddler years. And, you know, Jen, I saw the desire in her heart. She worked full time and she had to work. Like, we couldn't afford her not to work. And what we ended up doing is I was just like, oh man, the way I can grab a towel is I've got to figure out how to make more money. I've got to figure out a way to support my family. I need Jen to be a mom, because for us, when we were dreaming about it and praying about it, like, I think that's what God was calling us to do. So then I started working as hard as I could, learning, growing, relationships and results, relationships and results. Okay, what's my income? Right back to God. God? And learning and growing and learning and growing. And that ping pong back and forth constantly. And then I remember real specifically, I got home. We got to the point where Jen could stay home, which, you know, the math worked out like to the dollar, right? Have y'all been there, right? Like it's just, the tank is empty, but payday's tomorrow kind of scenarios, right? Like you're floating. I'm turning the air conditioner off on the way to the office, hoping to get an extra gallon out of that tank, right? Like, okay, that's just kind of where we were. And stressed, are we going to make it? Doing the guy thing, right? Trying to work harder for better results. Y'all ever done that? And without the Lord, it's not good. You get stressed, you get overwhelmed, you get in your own mind, you start judging yourself, you do all kinds of cool stuff. I walk in, and Jen just had that it was one particular day, she just had this look where she was just drained, right? Like, I walk in, and it's like, oh boy, what did y'all do to your mom, right? You know, that's kind of my feeling. And I was like, oh shoot, I need to grab the towel. And what that meant that night was just play with the kids instantly. Okay, we're playing, we're cleaning, we're right. Mom, you are off duty. And a couple of weeks go by, and Jen happened to mention that on how much that meant to her. So I'm kind of smart. And I went, oh, so it matters when I come home, I grab a towel. So that's just how I started. So, and then I learned of all these extra benefits along the way. Kids are extremely smart. And you know how they learn mostly? They learn with their eyes, and they learn with their ears. That's how they learn, mostly, in the beginning. Now, long term, how you develop, how you learn, that all gets complicated and fun. Actually, we can talk about that one day. It's actually a pretty fun subject, the different styles of learning. But in the beginning, usually, it's with their eyes and ears. So you know what I didn't quite realize, because my motivation was a tad bit selfish out of the gate with Jen, was I was really just trying to serve her, but what I didn't quite know back then was the kids were learning from me. They were watching Dad grab a towel over and over and over and over again. So, you know, we get complimented quite often with our kids. Anybody that is, and I'll brag on them, they're great kids, but, but if we're hanging out with people or hosting people or, you know, it's pretty constant that somebody's going to make a point. Your kids are great or this kind of thing. Well, I can't take credit for that because that was something the Lord put inside of them. I just got to partner with them in a way. You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't my idea. That idea goes all the way back to Jesus where he said, when you grab a towel, you'll be blessed. Okay. Let's talk about work. So I basically entered the workforce doing manual labor, and I've told a little bit part of that story, but once I got a real job, you know, a job where there was a chance to make a living, right? Once I got out of the minimum wage jobs, right? My first job, I didn't have the education most of my peers had. So with that history and culture from my parents and from, you know, my dad's family and all those men, I knew how to work hard, but I did not know how to fix a computer, which is important because I worked for a place that's they paid us to fix computers. I didn't know how to do it, but I read a lot, and I studied a lot, and I had a lot to learn technically my first couple of years in the business, which I did. I learned, I grew, and all that, but I can tell you something that ended up being the most important part of my career, which is interesting, is I learned how to grab a towel. Because I learned in a small business, if you pay attention to whoever the owns the place, and if you can figure out what's important to them and do that thing, it really makes a difference. So if an owner is really concerned about whatever, if you can learn how to do that thing and serve that person that owns the place, blessings just followed me. It's really simple. Like, that's all I did. So, and I mean, let me just get really practical. So, we opened up at 8 o'clock in the morning, right on the dot. But I noticed that sometimes clients would call us for help before 8 o'clock. So, you know, basically, that it wasn't complicated. I just said, if I get to work before 8 o'clock, I can start helping customers earlier. And I wasn't very good at it, but at least I could answer the phone. And that's all I did. I noticed that was important to our owner, that he wanted to serve our clients. So I thought, so he didn't ask me to. I just showed up. And I got to my desk a little bit early every day, and I picked up the phone before 8 o'clock and tried to help people. And then I noticed that, you know, most people take their lunch break when they take their lunch break, right? Have you ever worked with those kind of people? It's like they're waiting till that second hits. They're like, I'm out, you know, and they walk away. And then they come back 5 minutes late. It drives me crazy. But what I learned was, man, I need to be real strategic with when I take my lunch. And I would figure out, and it didn't take long to figure out when we were the busiest. And I just made sure I was there during the busiest times. And then I noticed that whenever we shut down for the evening, that if you prepared just a little bit, you could be set up for the next day. So I started doing that. So I would look at the workload that we had the next day, and I would prepare just a little bit about what we were going to do. And I did all, and I was the, to say I was entry level, I'm surprised they let me answer the phone, okay? Because I couldn't do squat. All I, you know, yes ma'am, let me, yep, and put them on hold. How do you fix that? Right? I mean, people hated working around me because I was going to pick up and I was going to find the answer. But so I did this for about a month, and then after about a month of grabbing a towel at this little bitty company, they promoted me, and it was a huge promotion. I now was in charge of one other person, and that's how I started. So me and my partner just started doing it together. And I probably wasn't all that great to work for at the time, because if we both were there at the same time during the busy part during lunch, I guess you can predict what happened. We just didn't eat any lunch. We started early, we ended late, we didn't take breaks, and we just worked. But something crazy happened. We learned how to serve. And we learned together what grabbing a towel meant. And I never went home and thought, they stole a lunch from me. I went home exhausted and hungry, but very quickly, the Lord started blessing me at work. And the more I learned to act like an owner, even though I wasn't one, far, far from one, I treated it like my own. I wanted, if I could pick up that call 30 seconds faster, I would. If I could drive to their place first thing in the morning to help a business owner with their server that went down, I would. If I could schedule my vacations around, and vacations at that time was like just taking a day off, around when the company was busy, I would. If I could research and grow and find free software or whatever, I did on my own. Like, I just started treating it as I would if I owned it, because I was grabbing a towel, not just for my family, I was grabbing a towel and serving the man that owned that company. And I did it 1,000 times in a row. And guys, God did things inside of me during that time when I was learning in the trenches how to do that stuff. That was really amazing. And I just learned that I started paying attention, and it took me a long time. It took me years to realize this. You see how dirty that towel is on the screen? It's up there? Yeah. Okay. Here's a really good indication. Men, and I'll just be real with you. If you've gone home and you go to bed, and before you go to bed, you turn around and look, and your towel is pristine, relationships and results. You didn't serve that night. Your towel should have been dirty. In the business, same thing, right? You guys know, right? Because I've worked with people like that, right? At the end of the day, you turn around and it's like, I mean, you were here, but you weren't really here, right? Like, you technically did everything required to keep your job, but you worked really hard at not working. Okay. The church. I've been asked this a little bit, and it's always interesting to me because it's hard for me to answer. How do you grab a towel at church? And it's kind of hard for me because I just do it, and it's hard. So, like, okay, man, if we had our ducks in the row and communication at the top tilt and everything together, this would be easier to explain. But I just know, because I've been around churches a little bit, that, okay, there's an event, and we're an event company in a way, right, at church. We have events to show off the Lord to the world, right? So we do that at family night. We do that this morning. We create places for people to gather, to invite their friends, and for us to love on them and for the Lord to touch them, have a relationship with them. So can I define that as an event without getting thrown out? Like, is that okay? Like, okay. An event. If you've ever been responsible for an event, if you can think of it that way, do you know what's like really important before an event? The things that happen before an event. Someone this morning got up early and cut little tortillas into little pieces for the communion and filled the little cups and straightened the chairs. And before even this morning, we had it, had this place had to be vacuumed, and we have to, you know, then we can get all into the practical. Okay. Let me just tell you, how I learned to grab a towel at church, I was just here, early and late. Now, I can't do it every time, but that's what I did. So if church starts at 10:30, I'd show up early. And if you have in the back of your mind, I'm ready to grab the towel, grabbing a towel might mean smiling at a new family that walked in 15 minutes early and that are sitting by themselves in a chair. Grabbing a towel might mean running to Kroger as fast as you can because we're out of tortillas. Grabbing a towel might mean, I don't know if you guys know this, but some of our kiddos show up early with their parents that are serving. Sometimes grabbing a towel means helping a young lady or a young man learn how to straighten up chairs in the sanctuary. And it takes longer with kids. But that act of them watching you grab a towel is worth it. Sometimes grabbing a towel at church means being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and doing things that I've heard you guys tell stories about that amaze me. Like, sometimes you ladies walk in wearing a particular colored shirt or outfit, and that sparks a conversation, and you get to pour life into somebody. Like, how does that work? Sometimes grabbing a towel means very simply noticing that there's a piece of trash in the parking lot on the way in, and you just picked it up. It's, you know, we, or I, maybe, I think you guys do this too, probably, as I think in these big categories, family, work, church, any time that I have allowed God to teach me what grabbing a towel means in that category, I get encouraged, I find things to do, and I always see God's blessings follow. When Jesus did that for his disciples, and I wish I had time to, like, really, in context, talk about how important that meal was with his disciples, like, you know, what was about to happen. And for him, of all the things that he could have talked about during that meal, like, he knew the end was coming, right? He didn't have that much time with that group left. That day, one of the last things he really did with, you know, like, you guys know the story, right? We just had Pentecost, I mean, Easter, right? Like, it's, we're good Bible students. We know the story. But I just find it amazing that Jesus took the time to do that. Okay. He took the time to take an action rather than spend the time using more words. That was one of the last lessons that he wanted to leave the men who were going to carry on the church when he wasn't here. He said, guys, pay attention. Watch me. Let me tell you how to do this. You grab a towel. So dads, that might mean diapers and cleaning and picking things up and mowing the grass and taking over kids and serving them and all the stuff, right? Like, that's what that might mean in a season. It might mean at work. I know this isn't the American way sometimes. Figuring out how to serve the place you work. And I don't mean this in a negative sense or trying to kill yourself working more hours. I'm saying partner with the Lord and he'll show you. Grabbing a towel means serving wherever you are. And every time you do, the blessings that come are unbelievable. I know I'm focusing on the towel side of the equation, but I promise you the blessing side of the equation, it's incredible what God does inside your heart. Like, you figure out quickly that you're not just showing up for a paycheck or showing up this morning to hear a sermon. You're showing up because you get to see what happens when that spark of the Lord's love comes in somebody else. And we get to be the representatives of Jesus to a world that desperately needs it. Guys, and that's a huge concept, but I promise you, if you will let yourself dream that way, you're going to be blown away how many opportunities you'll have to grab a towel. And then every once in a while, you'll be surprised yourself, because you know what God's going to do to you? And for me, this is the hardest part, because that kind of goes into loving yourself thing a little bit, or maybe not a little bit, is every once in a while, somebody shows up in a pickup truck and unloads a piece of plywood with an engine on it and says, son, this is for you. Isn't that wild? That as often as I get to grab a towel and serve others, it happens. It just happens. A tragedy or a blessing or whatever's going on in my life, and you guys have done it to me 1,000 times over the years in this church family, you've grabbed a towel and served me. And it's an incredible cycle that God designed to show his love and what a good father is. So, dads, I hope this helps. I hope you think about it. I hope you take action. I hope you grab a towel. Having a dirty towel is a good place to be. I think more than anything else in the world, that is what I think about when I think about the good dads in my life. It wasn't the stuff, it was the sacrifice that they did, whatever it was. Working really hard to provide a meal, grabbing a towel to teach me, to show care, to pay attention to me, to listen to a bad joke, whatever it was, right? There's lots of men in this room that were that to me in a lot of different areas, right? I just want to pray, I think, about this just for a second. And then, yeah, we'll wrap up. Dads, I challenge you to think about how you can grab a towel. For your family, for your job, for the church. And here's the really, really hard part. If your towel isn't as dirty as you would like, that's the funny thing about a white towel. Doesn't take long to get it dirty. You just got to start. So can we stand? We'll pray. So God, I just, I thank you so much for sharing your son with us, that he came down here to show us exactly what to do, that day with his disciples, Lord, you, what an incredible, impactful thing that you did. That you showed us exactly how to serve each other and serve you. Lord, I thank you for dads. I thank you for the dads in this room, the dads all over this world that are doing what you designed dads to do, to provide, to protect, to serve. To grab a towel for their wives, their kids. God, your system, your creation, your way that you have done this entire world to express love to us is incredible, Lord. God, thank you for being the perfect picture of a dad, of a father to us, Lord. Thank you for being patient and kind and picking us up when we fall, hugging us when we're hurting, smiling at us when we win the race, encouraging us over and over again, Lord. God, thank you for the incredible, incredible gift you've given us. So, you know, some of us, like, have really good memories and dads in our lives, and some of us have not so good memories. Some of us have had friends that don't have good memories. Just saying the word father sometimes is a little bit emotional for some people. Guys, something that I've learned is anytime that I have a need, anytime that I've had something sad inside, anytime that I look back and hear a word and it's not just instantly something I want to talk about or think about, if you give the Lord an opportunity to speak to you about that, He will. And He heals. And He doesn't just heal like filling in a hole, like a pothole, right? To where you can kind of tell it was still there, but you know, it's mostly covered up. Like when He heals, it's pristine. Like it was never there. Like, it's like one of those roads that you can just jump on and go, and it's just smooth and perfect. So if the idea of a father or a dad isn't just a happy place for you, I think we're going to have some prayer teams up here this morning. I'd really encourage you just to get prayed for. Like, give yourself the opportunity to hear what the Lord thinks about that specifically. And the rest of you dads, if you would, join me in grabbing a towel this week. It's really fun. And it's kind of addicting. It really is. Like, once you see what that does inside your own heart and the person that you're serving, you'll never quit. It's amazing. All right. Man, thank you, church. We'll let you go. Everyone have a great Sunday.